This morning, please take your Bible and open to the book of Romans, chapter number 12, verses 1 and 2. Romans chapter 12 and verses 1 and 2. This passage of Scripture, I believe, is relatively familiar to most of us in the room today. It speaks about a living sacrifice and how God wants us to be a living sacrifice for Him. And I got to thinking about that topic, and this question came to mind: what is a living sacrifice? What is God referring to when He says this? And so that's what we're going to talk about this morning. And again, the title is, "What is a Living Sacrifice?" Notice, if you would, our text today, and we'll spend our time here this morning. Romans chapter 12, verse 1 and verse 2. I beseech you. Beseech, by the way, is a strong word that means to plead or to beg you. I plead with you. I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God. I don't know about you, but I'm glad that the mercies of God are available to help us with this. I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that ye present your bodies a living sacrifice. Now, I find this interesting also, and I may come back to this later, but God doesn't necessarily tell us to be a living sacrifice, but what He does tell us is, I want you to present yourselves as a living sacrifice. And the reason I wanted to point that out is because I believe that the mercies of God will help you to fulfill what He's asking for here. If you'll present yourself to Him, it's going to sound kind of simple, I suppose, but if you'll present yourself to Him, He'll take care of the rest. Give yourself to Him. Present yourself to Him as a living sacrifice. Notice it again. I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that ye present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God. Those two thoughts go together: holy and acceptable unto God. And notice this, which is your reasonable service. It's reasonable for every believer to at least present themselves to the Lord as a living sacrifice, allowing the mercies of God to help you to fulfill this. This is reasonable for all believers to do this. Verse 2. Here's our part, I think, besides the presenting of ourselves. Verse 2, and be not conformed to this world. Do you remember what Play-Doh is?
Yes.
Most of us. You don't?
I don't like Play-Doh.
Oh, you don't like Play-Doh. That, she's shaking her head. That's why but I know she remembers it because I'll just leave that. If you remember Play-Doh, and there's a little machine that comes with it with different shape figures on the ends that you can put in there, screw in there, and then put the Play-Doh in and push this handle down. And then as the Play-Doh comes out, of course, it is whatever shape you put, you know, on the front of that little, I call it a machine, but, I know why you don't like Play-Doh, but I was told, and I think this is probably pretty accurate, that when the Bible says in verse 2, and be not conformed to this world, that idea of Play-Doh being pressed into that mold and the Play-Doh coming out whatever shape is on the front of that little machine, that's the idea that the Lord is talking about here. Don't allow the world to force you into their mold. Don't allow the world to treat you like Play-Doh in that little, again, machine or whatever it's called, and to force, you know, force their pressure upon you. Because isn't it true, the world is pressing upon us all the time to try to make us to look like them and sound like them and smell like them and, you know, become like them. But God is saying here, as you present yourself to the Lord as a living sacrifice, and the mercies of God helping you to fulfill that, of course, it is reasonable for you to do this, but you need to know that God's encouragement to you and I as believers is don't allow the world to press you into their mold. Be, at least maybe I could phrase it this way, be willing, notice the word willing, be willing to be different. Be willing to be different. And be not conformed to this world, verse 2, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind, that ye may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. Instead of being conformed, be transformed. Instead of allowing the world to press you into their mold, resist that. Be willing to be different. Allow the Lord to transform you. And of course, it's going to come by way of the renewing of your mind. This is why, in my opinion, good music is important. Good Bible teaching is important. Good friendships are important. You know, we talked about this a little bit in the Sunday school class for the adults this morning, how Amnon had a friend, Jonadab, who influenced him to do the wrong thing. Jonadab was used by the world and by the devil to influence Amnon to do what he knew in his heart he shouldn't do. But see, Amnon was being pressed into that mold. And this scripture that we're looking at this morning is reminding us, be willing to be different. Don't be conformed to the world. Instead, be transformed by the renewing of your mind. So you're listening to the right people. You're having the right friends surrounding you. You have the right music and you have the right Bible teaching and so forth. It's helping you then to prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. All this is wrapped up in being a living sacrifice to the Lord. Let's pray together and then I'll continue with our outline this morning. Lord, thank you for this encouragement in these two verses. We'll talk about this at length this morning. I pray that you'll help me. Give me wisdom to know what to say. And help us all to have open ears and receptive hearts to hear what you have for us this morning. Lord, we love you and we want to learn about you today. So please do that for us. In Jesus' name, amen. These two verses, of course, remind us that we're to present ourselves as a living sacrifice. What is that exactly does God mean by that? Most all of us, I think, realize that it means God wants us to dedicate ourselves to him, to learn about him, to do his will above everything else. But is there more to this matter of being a living sacrifice that we should consider? And I have several thoughts that I believe God showed me, and I want to share them with you today. And the first one is this, and it's pretty obvious from our text, but the living sacrifice is a sacrifice that is alive. You know, most sacrifices in the Bible were dead. We're reading in the Old Testament in books like Leviticus and Numbers and Deuteronomy and so forth. A lot of this that I'm referring to next is from Leviticus, but the priests that were chosen to do the menial tasks of that ministry, and it was hard work, you know, slaying of oxen and cattle and so forth, sheep. The priests that were chosen to do this were chosen at 20 years old, and then they gave up their responsibilities at 50 years old. So there was a whole, you know, 30 years in there, but after that, somebody else had to take their place. And it's understandable when you realize what difficult, hard work this was to do the work of a priest, but all those sacrifices, and I think about all the years that God used them in the Old Testament, you know, really all the way up until at least our Savior came, and he was then our sacrifice from that day forward. How many thousands and thousands and thousands of bulls and goats and sheep and turtle doves and all, how many thousands of animals were slain and offered up as sacrifices throughout all those years? And listen, every one of them was dead. Every one of them was dead. Here, in this passage that we're reading today and getting the message from, I wanted you to notice that this sacrifice is a living sacrifice. It's alive. The lambs and bulls and goats of the Old Testament were all dead, and they had to die in order to fulfill their purpose, because that's what God asked for, and that's what God was pleased with. But when we come to the New Testament, things change a little bit. Now, don't miss this. There was a lamb who died, and that was the Lord Jesus Christ. And he died as our sacrifice. As the Lamb of God, he died in our place to fulfill God's intended purpose for him and for us. And what God's asking for us, it's almost like this. Because I gave my son to die on the cross and take your place there, you deserve to be there, but I gave my son to take your place on that cross. Because I did that for you, what I'm asking from you now is not to die, I'm asking you to live as a sacrifice for me. Again, don't miss it. He's not asking us to die. He's asking us to live. He's not asking us to die for what we believe. He's asking us to live for what we believe. Every once in a while, somebody will ask you or me, why do you do what you do? Why do you go to that church so often? Why do you give of your income to that church and their missions program? Why do you read your Bible so often? Why is it that you listen to the music that you listen to? Why is it that you don't do the things that you used to do and the things that many of us still do? Why is it that you live your life so differently? This is the reason. This is the reason right here. He wants you to be a living sacrifice for him. To live out what we believe. Not to die for what we believe. Now, who knows what the future holds? It may come to that. But right now, he's asking us not to die for what we believe. He's asking us to live for what we believe. Present your bodies a living sacrifice. The second thing I wanted you to see here is we're talking about what is a living sacrifice. Number one, a living sacrifice is a sacrifice that is alive. Number two, the living sacrifice is to be a holy sacrifice. That's mentioned here in the verse, isn't it? Verse 1. I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that ye present your bodies a living sacrifice. And here's the word, holy. Now, I realize what year we're living in, and I realize the times in which we're living. And some of the things that we talked about, for instance, in the adult Sunday school class today, if the average unsaved person heard what we talked about this morning, they would be flabbergasted because that's not how people live anymore. Well, it's still how God intends us to live. Holy. Holy. Holy is not a word that should be feared. Holy is a word that just simply means you're separate from the world and you're separate unto the Lord. You're separate from that which is evil and contrary to the will of God, and you're separate unto that which is good and in agreement with the will of God. Simply put, my friend, you're trying to live out what the Bible teaches. I realize nobody here is going to do it perfectly, including myself. But we're trying. We're trying our best to live out what the Bible teaches. And that is all wrapped up in that word, holy. It's a word that suggests that we are dedicated to the purposes of God for our life. I'm willing to do that. I'm willing to say no to what the world is trying to convince me is okay. I'm willing to resist that, and I'm willing also to follow what God's word teaches. What the world says, I'm not listening to that. What the Lord says, I am listening to that. What the world says, I turn a deaf ear to. What the word says, I've got my ear open and listening. I don't know if you see this or not, but I do, and I'm sure many of you probably do. The older I get, the farther apart what the world says and what the word says, the farther apart they are. So, as we follow the word instead of the world, we're going to seem more and more peculiar. Which, it's okay with me, because that's what Scripture says we're supposed to be. A peculiar people. It doesn't mean weirdos. It just means we're standing with the Lord. We're standing with Him and what His Word says. And to the world, we seem very peculiar. Again, I'm okay with that. As long as my God is okay with me for doing that, I'm okay that the world doesn't understand. I'm okay that they mock and ridicule. I'm okay that they say what they say. Because I'm trying to live a holy life. A holy life. By the way, in the Bible, both Old and New Testament, it says, "Be ye holy, for I, the Lord thy God, am holy." Live like God would want you to live. What would Jesus do? Amen. The living sacrifice is a sacrifice, number one, that is alive. Number two, that is holy, dedicated to the Lord, not to the world, and certainly not to self. By the way, my plans and wishes come later. God's plans and wishes come first. Holy. So alive, holy. A third thing I wanted to share with you this morning is that the living sacrifice is a complete sacrifice. Notice again, this text says, "I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that ye present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service." And then, of course, it says, "And be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind, that ye may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God." Let's go back to the Old Testament in our heads and in our minds and in our thoughts, and think about all those hundreds and thousands of sacrifices. Think about each and every one of them slain: bulls, goats, calves, lambs, pigeons, you know, all those that are slain, and the blood drained out, and of course they couldn't, you know, they weren't supposed to drink of that blood or eat of that blood sacrifice, you know. And that lamb or that bull or that goat or that calf or whatever, slain, how much of themselves as a sacrifice could they say to the priest, "Wait a minute, I want to keep that part"? Well, we know the answer to that. None of them, of course, they're animals, so they can't speak. I understand that. But none of them have the right to do that, because all of themselves had to be sacrificed. A complete sacrifice. This matter of a living sacrifice is much the same. We're allowing the Lord Jesus Christ to have complete control of us. And so that means He's in control of my appetites. He's in control of my attitudes. He's in control of my actions. You know, from head to toe, He's in control. He has control of my personal life. He has control of my family life. He has control of my church life. He has control of my business life. You ready for this one? He has control of my recreational life. It's a complete sacrifice. All of me and every bit of me, He has control of. Listen, when we're talking about a complete living sacrifice, we're not talking about a Sunday morning religion.
Amen.
We're talking about Sunday, Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, Saturday, 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, God's in control. It's a complete sacrifice. It's a total dedication of every part of my life. Appetites, attitudes, actions, personal life, family life, church life, business life, recreational life. I mean, just whatever else you want to add on to that. It's a complete sacrifice. That's what God is looking for. That's what he is asking us to do here. Present your bodies a living sacrifice. So what exactly does that mean? Well, it means that sacrifice must be alive. Number two, it must be holy. Number three, it must be complete. You ready for this one? Number four, the living sacrifice is a voluntary sacrifice. I hope you can see this in the text. I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that ye present your bodies a living sacrifice, wholly acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service, and be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind, that ye may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. A voluntary sacrifice. That's what God is asking for. A voluntary sacrifice. There were a couple of different times in my life where I can remember sitting in the pew or in the audience with the people that were present, somebody else preaching, and God speaking to my heart about surrendering myself to him. A couple of different times. And I remember going forward and kneeling at an altar, kind of like this area up here, and just saying, Lord, I don't know for sure what you want me to do, but I'm willing to do whatever you want me to do. I remember one time, of at least two times, I remember one of those times in my heart holding back from doing this. But then later, going forward and saying, Lord, I'll do whatever you want me to do. If that's what you want me to do, you're going to have to help me. The mercies of God that you're talking about right here has to help me. But I'm presenting myself today as a living sacrifice, voluntarily giving myself to you and just asking that you would use me as you see fit. In the two verses that we see here in our text, did you notice there's no force from God? God's not using any force to get us to do it. Did you notice also that there's in these two verses, there's no fear? God's not using fear, trying to guilt us into it. No force and no fear. Because this is meant to be voluntary. I beseech you. That's why he used the word beseech. I plead with you. I beg you. I beseech you. It's got to be voluntary. He's not forcing you to do it. He's not using fear to get you to do it. I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, he's going to help us to do this, that ye present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. Those who do voluntarily sacrifice themselves to the will of God will find the mercies of God will be there to help them every step of the way. I'm looking back now over, and I'm coming up upon soon 50 years of doing this. I preached my very first sermon in 1976. That's a lot of sermons. I can remember the time that I came forward and I was surrendering myself to the Lord, but I was holding back in some areas. And one of the reasons I was holding back in some areas is because, again, I thought, and I know I've shared some of this with you before, but where are you going to get all those messages? And then you're standing up in front of those people, you know, Sunday morning, Sunday night, Wednesday night. Where are you going to get all that? I mean, and I know how it is. Now you can't shut me up. It's just, I look forward to this part of the week. I look forward to it Sunday morning and Sunday night and Wednesday night. I look forward to this. It's a privilege, it's an honor to be asked by the Lord to represent him from the front of the auditorium and preach and teach God's word. It's a privilege and an honor to be asked to do that. But I can remember the day when I was surrendering, but I was holding back, and I was holding back because I did not realize that the mercies of God would be there to help me. And by the way, they have been there to help me throughout all these years that I've been doing this. The mercies of God are going to be available to help you to do anything God asks you to do. Anything He asks you to do is possible because He will be there to help you do it. I know I say this often, but we have a great God. I don't feel worthy to do this. I really don't. But I know He asked me to do this, and I'm willing to give myself to do this all the time. Sarah, you prayed with me this morning at home. You prayed with me here in this room this morning before the services started and before anybody came. And did I ask the Lord to help me?
Yes.
I did. And I asked Him to give me the right words and the right, ability to explain the scriptures and all that, didn't I? Because I know that I can't do this without Him. I wouldn't want to do this without Him. The mercies of God will be there to help you to do what He asks you to do. So as a living sacrifice, you surrender yourselves to Him. You present yourselves to Him. And it's like, Lord, and you probably feel just like I do. I'm not worthy. I'm not qualified. I'm not able to do this. You're going to have to help me. And I can almost hear the Lord say, that's exactly what I've been hoping for. I'm willing to help you if you'll just surrender yourself to me. Anything He asks us to do, He will help us to do. A living sacrifice. What is a living sacrifice? Number one, a living sacrifice is a sacrifice that is alive. Number two, it's holy. Number three, it's complete. Number four, it's voluntary. Number five, the living sacrifice is a joyful sacrifice. You notice the text says, I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that ye present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. And be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind, that ye may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. A joyful sacrifice. A couple of thoughts here, real quickly. The joy that I'm speaking of, first of all, is caused by the mercies of God. Caused by the mercies of God. I don't know if I can explain this to you or not, but When I am asked to do this, and I believe that I am, and I am doing my best to prepare, and I try to put time into this, for all of our services, and then I get the privilege to stand up and deliver what I think the Lord has helped me with, and the mercies of God helping me to deliver it, there's a joy inside that I can't explain. And I'm pretty sure the joy comes because the mercies of God are helping me. Nothing that He asks us to do is impossible because He's going to help us to do it. But as He's helping us to do it, there's joy. There's joy. The joy is caused by the mercies of God. There's also joy that's caused by the voluntary action of the sacrifice. In other words, when you know that you've surrendered yourself to Him, when you know that, and you're fulfilling what He's asked you to do, there's a joy that comes because of that. I have a friend who, when I was in Appleton, was a deacon with me there at that church, and he used to talk about God giving us attaboys. Remember who I'm talking about?
Oh, yeah.
Attaboys. And it's just God showing His approval to you, just from Him to you. He's showing His approval to you because you're doing what He's asked you to do. It's a joy that comes because of obedience. It's a joy that comes because of surrender. It's a joy that comes because you're doing what he's asked you to do. So the joy is caused by the mercies of God helping you. The joy is caused by the voluntary action of the sacrifice. The joy is given to you. Man, I hope I'm okay to say this, but I believe it's right. The joy is given to you by the Lord as gratitude from him. The joy is given to you by the Lord as gratitude from him. You know, not everyone's willing to do what these two verses say. It's one of the things we've seen a lot in our Sunday night study, right? In the book of Isaiah, the children of Israel, many times, they were so rebellious and hard-hearted. And over and over and over, Isaiah pleads with them, God leading him, of course, but Isaiah pleads with them, won't you please surrender? Won't you please get right with God? Won't you please do what he's asking you to do? Again, not everybody will do that. So those who will do what these two verses are saying, there's joy that's given to you by the Lord as gratitude. It's like God's attaboy. God's encouragement to you and me to keep on surrendering. The living sacrifice, what is that? Number one, it's a sacrifice that is alive. Number two, it's a sacrifice that is holy. Number three, it's a sacrifice that is complete. Number four, it's a sacrifice that is voluntary. Number five, this is a sacrifice that is joyful. Here's the last one, number six. The living sacrifice is a satisfying sacrifice. It's a satisfying sacrifice. Couple of thoughts here and I'm done. When you surrender yourself to the Lord and you do what he's asking you to do, the most important person who's satisfied is the Lord. You've heard me say this many times throughout the years that I've been here. In order for you and I to hear, well done, thou good and faithful servant, you have to have done well. For God to say to you and me one day, well done. You have to have done well. When God sees that you've done well, God is satisfied. And after all, isn't that who we're supposed to be trying to satisfy? I think this is true also. When the Lord is satisfied with you, you'll know it. I think also when he's not satisfied with you, you'll know it. But when he is satisfied with you, you'll know it. I feel like I told you in Sunday school, there's so many things going through my head right now, and I'm not sure what I should say and what I shouldn't, but so most of it I'll just keep to myself. But number one, the Lord will be satisfied. Number two, the satisfying sacrifice, not only will the Lord be satisfied, but listen, the people that your life touches will be satisfied. The people that your life touches will be satisfied. One of the things that I've seen and what I've hopefully learned is when you give your life to the Lord and you surrender yourself to him, he's going to use you to touch other people's lives. It's normally to help someone else. It's not for you. And like we talked about when we study the spiritual gifts that are mentioned in the Bible, the spiritual gifts aren't for you. The spiritual gifts are for you to help somebody else, to be a blessing to someone else, to be satisfying to someone else. You see, the surrendered life will be used by God to touch other people. Those who are helped by you and your life and your ministry, they're going to be blessed. They're going to be encouraged. They're going to be strengthened. So we speak about the living sacrifice is a satisfying sacrifice. First of all, it satisfies the Lord. Secondly, it satisfies others, the people who your life touches. And then thirdly, you're going to be satisfied. A life that's lived for the Lord brings about an inner satisfaction that you cannot achieve any other way. Listen, it's better than a gold watch. It's better than a plaque on the wall or on your desk or something like that. A life lived for the Lord brings about an inner satisfaction that cannot be achieved any other way. Recently, and I told you this, I'm pretty sure, on a Wednesday and also on a Sunday, Dr. Don Sisk was committed to an assisted living home, rest home kind of a thing. And he was really sad as he gave the announcement to his church out in California that he's a part of. This is what he said. This is probably the last time I'll be in the services here. And I'm pretty sure that means he's not going to be out traveling and preaching and helping churches with faith promise missions and stuff like that. Because he used to travel worldwide doing that. But here's what I'm getting at. Do you think that while he's in that assisted living home, that he looks back over his life and that he is glad that he gave himself as a living sacrifice?
Amen.
See, I think so. And then, of course, one day soon, the Lord's going to call him home to heaven. And when all the rewards are passed out, you think he'll be satisfied and happy that he gave himself as a living sacrifice? I think so. The satisfaction is experienced first here on earth, but secondly, when you get to heaven and all the rewards are given out. And even if there aren't any rewards, and I'm looking forward to rewards because, like Revelation shows, I want to lay them at Jesus' feet. So I would like to receive some that I can, you know, lay at Jesus' feet. But even if there weren't any rewards, to be able to go to heaven and to hear my Savior say, "You did a good job for me." Oh, man. That makes it all worthwhile. That makes it all worthwhile. What is a living sacrifice? Notice our text again. "I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that ye present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. And be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind, that ye may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God." I wonder, as we wrap this up, is your life proving the good and acceptable and perfect will of God? Is your life proving that, or showing that, or demonstrating the good and acceptable and perfect will of God? If you're a living sacrifice, I believe it is. If you're not yet a living sacrifice, then maybe not. But this is what the Lord is looking for. This is what he's asking for. He's not going to use force. He's not going to use fear. He wants you to voluntarily surrender yourself to be a living sacrifice. Will you do it? Let's stand together. Heads bowed, eyes closed, no one looking. Dear Lord, thank you for working in my heart and my life many years ago to surrender to do what I'm doing today. I can remember the times and the days when it scared me to death, as the saying goes. I realized I didn't literally die, but I was so nervous and so afraid and so apprehensive about doing and surrendering myself to do this. But now it's been almost 50 years since my first sermon, 1976. A lot of sermons in between then and now. And you've helped me through every one of them. Thank you for that, Lord. I believe you helped me today. And I'm thankful for that as well. Help us all to be willing to sacrifice ourselves to the will of God for whatever it is that you have for us, knowing that the mercies of God will be there to help us. Bless this invitation now. We ask in Jesus' name. Amen.